Well, as we move into week two of our sermon series about being fearless, imagining our life without fear, it seems as though there is no shortage of things to be afraid of. We talked about last week, we talked about Elisha and waking up and being surrounded. Sometimes, you know, and this week has been one of those weeks where you don't have to wake up to see that you're surrounded. You can be awake and you can just, and it seems as though that the enemies are not amassing as we sleep, but right before our very eyes. And while we're wide awake, we can just see them amassing on the horizon. And whether it's job issues or, you know, relationship situations, whether it's the economy, whether whatever it is, there's not a shortage of things to be afraid of. And as I was thinking about this sermon this week, I thought about all, you know, we're going to look at this morning briefly of Peter walking on water and the idea of waves and just the torrent of things that come. And it just seems as though, you know, when it rains, it pours, and they come up with sayings like that because, you know, that seems to be the problem, is that wave after wave after wave comes and hits us. And it can be small things that become big. It can be issues that, sickness or relate, you know, whatever it is, just wave after wave after wave. And it seems like when the economy's down, then relationships are strained. And when relationships are strained, then we're stressed out. And when we're stressed out, our immune system is not at its peak. And when our immune system's out at its peak, then we get sick. And so not only are we struggling with the economy, with our health, with our relationship, just wave after wave. And then there are those big things that come up that just, you can see them on the horizon for months and months, it seems like. Those of you who have been down to New Orleans, we've gone down, and I one of the things that I'm proud of saying is how involved in other things that this church is. And I mean, we've been to, people from this congregation have been to New Orleans after Katrina at least 10, 15 times. I mean, there's been a multitude of trips, and that's such a great thing. But if you've been down there, you know, and you talk to those people, they knew that storm was coming. I mean, they really did. Pictures like this are on the news for like a week, and they know it's coming. But how many times you know something's coming, and you just, whether you didn't think it was actually going to be as bad as it was, or there were so many of the people in New Orleans that just had no way of getting out of the way. Just no way of getting out of the way. How much of life is like that? I mean, you see it coming and you're just paralyzed by it, and there's no physical way. It's just too big. You know, if I move to the left, it's going to get me. If I move to the right, it's going to be there. If I stand right here, I'm going to get the brunt of it. There's just no way. And you say, well, you know, if you live somewhere else, storms like that don't hit. You know, we have people that have lived in Florida and they've, you know, been run out of there because, you know, there's hurricanes are coming. So you move to the Midwest, and they got them there too. They might not be called hurricanes, and they might not be, they might not cover entire states, but the thing about these guys is you never know where they're going to hit. See, no matter what, no matter where we live, no matter what our name is, no matter what our last name is, no matter what job we have, no matter who we're married to, no matter what, there are storms, there are waves, it's going to happen. Whether we can see it coming or whether they just drop out of the sky. And what we are called to do is to live that fearless life. We are called to be fearless. And you've heard in the greatest president, in my opinion, the history of our country that I was alive for, said a rising tide lifts all boats unless you got a hole in yours. Sometimes don't we feel that way? That, you know what? When the tides are rising, man, my boat's going to rise with it and I'm going to be okay. But what do you do when it seems like everywhere you turn, there's just nothing but holes in the boat that you're riding in? And the tide, you know, it gets higher and higher, and the water just keeps rushing in and rushing in and rushing in. And this morning we're going to talk about, while we're in the midst of that, while we're dealing with very real situations, how do we react like Elisha reacted last week when he said, hey, if he could only see what I can see. He called on the angel of the Lord. This morning we're going to look at overcoming the fear of overwhelming circumstances. Because isn't that the case so often where we look and we're like, you know, I'm just one person. And in the middle of all of these storms, you know, think back on that hurricane or that tornado, and we can stand and we can curse the wind and we can speak out against the rain, and yet it just keeps coming and the waves just keep crashing no matter what we want to do, no matter how much we want them to stop. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9, that's going to be, well, I thought it was going to be our text. There it is. It's going to be our text, I promise you. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me there. We're going to look at what the reality of life is in the middle of storms, in the middle of waves, in the middle of life. Here, Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Let me get that up there for you. How about that? Oh, there it is. Whoops. Okay. Now, all right. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I love this text because it speaks of the situation that we're all in. Now, we might not respond like Paul responds, but we are experiencing what Paul experienced. We all have the waves and the wind and the storms. We all have the circumstances that seem as though it's stacked against us. No matter what it is, whether it's health, relationships, economy, jobs, family, no matter, we all are in the same boat. We're all hard-pressed. We're all perplexed. We're all persecuted and struck down. You know, that hard-press, think about that. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, hard-pressed. You know, if I do this, this bad thing's going to happen. And if I come over here and do that, that bad thing's going to happen. I mean, Paul's being persecuted for preaching the gospel. If he keeps preaching the gospel, he's going to keep getting beat up and thrown in jail. If he stops preaching the gospel, then he faces an existence separated from the true and living God. He is truly caught between a rock and a hard place. And perplexed and confused about the future. What do I do, Lord? How am I going to get out of this? I find myself in jail. I am in chains for the gospel. How confusing a situation could that be? Maybe you've done everything right. You've been the hardest worker, the most loyal spouse, no matter, and it just seems like it unravels. How perplexing is that? I'm confused, Lord. Why is this happening? I'm persecuted, oppressed because of the faith. And struck down, hurt by circumstances in life. I mean, how many times do we experience that? I am physically, emotionally, spiritually injured because of circumstances beyond my control. But not crushed. Not in despair. Not abandoned and not destroyed. The rock in the hard place, Jesus says, if you got faith to say to this mountain to move, throw yourself into the sea, it'll do that. That takes care of the rock, or maybe that's the hard place. Either one, we got a way out because our faith can move the obstacles that are in our way. And not in despair, we have hope. Not abandoned, because every time Jesus says, do not fear, you know what He says? I'm with you. Fear not, it is I. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I'm with you always. What did God say to Moses? Moses said, well, in whose name do I go? He said, I am, and I will be there. And not destroyed. A resilience that just keeps coming back for more. So this morning, as we think about this verse right here, as we think about, yeah, I can relate to hard-pressed. I can relate to perplexed. I can relate to persecuted. I can relate to struck down. You know what we need so often? We need not crushed, not in despair. We need to understand, not abandoned. And we need to realize that we're not destroyed. But how do we do that? How does the rubber meet the road in circumstances where we find ourselves? Because it's not hard. You know, every one of us could come up here and give a testimony of what it's like to live in a boat with holes in it while the tide's rising around us. No matter what your socioeconomic situation is, no matter what your relationship status is, no matter where you are, no matter how many friends you have on Facebook, we all know what it's like to go through this life of rising and rising tides with a boat full of holes. The first thing that we need to understand, it's important where you stare. It's important where you stare. Now, this is going to be about the 50,000th sermon that I've preached that's going to have this scripture referenced in it. And I'm sorry, and I told Jamie, if I have to use this example one more time, I just want to punch myself in the face, but it works every single time. Matthew chapter 14, starting in about verse 30 or so, it's Peter walking on water. I mean, I know. We could quote this story, but it's just, we all live this. Remember, Jesus sends the apostles out ahead of him. He's just fed 5,000 people, and they get in a boat, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and the storm comes up, and there comes Jesus walking on the water. And Peter's, you know, they're all afraid, and Jesus says, you know, do not be afraid. It's me. I'm not a ghost. It's me. It's Jesus. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, command me to come unto you. And he says, well, then get out here. And we all know the story. We know that Peter climbs out of the boat and he walks on water to Jesus. But then, as the Bible says, as he saw the wind and he saw the waves, what happened? He began to sink. We have to understand that in those circumstances, when there is wind and waves and storm and all manner of evil, and it's so hard to do, but yet so easy. It's so complicated at times, but yet so simple, that when we are in that boat, when we are in that storm, when we're surrounded by other people just like us, just as afraid, just as helpless, just as at the end of their rope as we are at ours, that it's important that we look for Jesus in those storms. I doubt very seriously that any of those guys who were in that boat had a lookout and said, Jesus is going to be coming any minute. I know He will. I doubt anybody was on the lookout for him. It probably scared each one of them the same when they looked up and saw a ghost, because they weren't looking for him. It was a big surprise when Jesus came walking on the water. Now, I promise you, if we were there, if we were in that situation, if we were in that boat, we would be scared too. And we would be worrying about paddling and worrying about rowing and worrying about doing all the things you got to do to keep your boat from turning over and capsizing and sinking and killing us all. But see, we have the benefit of 2,000 years of example. You have the benefit of 50,000 sermons about this text alone. Why aren't we looking for Jesus in the storm? In the lost job, in the sick spouse, in the relationship issues, why are we not constantly looking for Jesus to come walking on top of the water to give us a way out, to show us what the storm is all about? So if we do that, we're looking for Jesus. Okay, Shane, check that off. I'm going to do that from now on. When I'm in the boat, when the storms are crashing, when the waves are all around, I'm going to be looking for Jesus. And so we do that. We look for Him. We see Him. Okay, that's the way out right there. This is my path of deliverance in this situation. So we get out of our boat. We get out of our comfort zone. We get out of our dependence on us. And we're walking with Jesus. And here we go. Peter sees the waves and he sinks. Not only do we look for Jesus, but we got to look at Jesus the whole time. The whole time. Because I love this point. Jesus did not make the waves die down and say, okay, now it's glass. Now get out. He called Peter to walk in the middle of the storm. Walking on water is miraculous. But walking on water in a storm, it's kind of scary. So the discipline, the call for us in this rising tide situation is not only to look for Jesus, but to be disciplined, to be steadfast, to be committed to looking at Jesus, to looking at God, and staying that way. You know, there is when I'm riding my bike, which I'm doing a lot more these days. When you're, you know, one of the things about when you're going up a steep hill, one of the things that you've got to do is, you know, you're clipped into those pedals, and instead of just pushing down, you know what else you got to do when you're clipped in? You got to pull up. And you got to push down and you got to pull up and all that. That way you can get up a 3 or 4 mile hill. If you're going to go up Mont Eagle, which I've done, by the way, on a bicycle, hold your applause. You can't just push down the whole time. You can't just be leaning on, because that's going to wear your legs out like that. It's like doing anyway. You got to push up. You know how much concentration that takes? Do you know how much concentration it takes to be sitting on the seat and to be constantly thinking about pushing down and pulling up and doing all that, you know, boom, boom, boom. I mean, you get tired. Not only are my legs burning, but my mind is just exhausted from thinking about pedaling a bike. Are you kidding me? But isn't much of life just like that if we would just... And my mind wants to wander. I want to think squirrel, leaves, pain, all of those things. But I find that if I just keep my composure, if I just stay disciplined, if I just, you know, keep thinking about one thing is down and up and down, if I just keep doing that, the hill is over at some point. And I've made it. I've made it. I see Jesus just saying, stay with me, Peter. Just stay with me. Don't look over here. Don't look. Just stay with me and Peter. But there's so much else to look. There's so many leaves. There's so many things. There's so many solutions. There's so many. And he's just stay with me. Just stay with me, Peter. If we would be disciplined, not only to look forward, but to look at, we wouldn't have happened what happens. But in the middle of that, you know, it's altogether different to get out of that boat. And we're called to be courageous. Not only are we beware of where you stare, but be courageous. To be courageous, to be people who are willing to act, willing to not be afraid and to do things. And this is not, you know, a naivete, and I don't even know if I spelled that right. That's a weird word. But, you know, not being naive, not being, you know, so, you know, careless and just thinking that everything's, you know, fine and being stupid. But it's being courageous. You see, courage is counteracting fear with accomplishments. Think about 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37 as David and Goliath, another passage that's just been sermoned to death. But you know, you've got this Goliath, you've got this giant, you've got this scary, formidable enemy standing there freezing the armies of the Lord. David comes and he's willing to go into battle. And chapter 17, verse 37 of 1 Samuel tells you why David is willing to go into battle. Because David said, you know what? The same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the bear is going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. You see, this wasn't David's first rodeo. David had been depending on God since he was a boy. And he knew the accomplishments of God. He wasn't just naive and he wasn't just foolish. He was courageous, knowing I have depended upon God before and I will depend upon God again. Courage is not the lack of fear. But courage is controlling fear. It's not letting fear control us. But it's saying, because I know the true and living God, because I have been in this situation before, because I can recount all of the accomplishments of the God who split the sea, of the God who led with fire, who led with smoke, who brought down plagues upon His enemies, the God who made the sun stand still, the God who got me a job, the God who brought me this relationship, the God who brought me to the place where I am now. The God who delivered me at birth will deliver me well into my death. That's the God I serve. It's about being courageous, about controlling our fear. And the last thing I want to say is it's about learning how to lean. It's about learning how to lean. You know, one of the things that we have to be teachable in the storms of life. We have to understand that the more that we depend on God, the more that we can anticipate depending on God. You see, in this passage in Matthew 14, I got to hand it to Peter. I'm kind of proud of him. Because what did he do when he said that when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He swam for it. Once he realized there's wind and waves and he started to sink and he was no longer walking on water, man, he, you know, being a fisherman and being a swimmer, and, you know, Peter knew that if he just swam for the beach, he could make it. So the Bible says that he swam for it. No. No, he didn't. He didn't swim for it. He didn't reach back for the boat. He didn't try to go back to what had kept him afloat from the beginning. If Peter was nothing, he was teachable. He didn't always learn quick, but he was teachable. And he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." How many times do we find ourselves swimming for it? If I'll just work harder, if I just do this, if I just do that, and God is in the middle of that saying, "Be still and know that I am God." Cry out to the Lord. Learn how to lean on Him. You know, one of the things about David or about Elisha is they understood that it was God who was going to deliver, no matter what the circumstances, and they learned that God's going to show up here. I love that in the passage that we read last week in 1 Kings 6. When Elisha comes out and he sees that they're surrounded by their enemy. I, in my mind's eye, and I believe this is biblical because I think it. I believe that Elisha's standing there at the mouth of that tent with a smile on his face. You know, there's enough rednecks in Tennessee, we've heard this. Y'all watch this. I mean, don't you want to have that kind of faith? I want to be that guy that where it's like when something's God's fixing to show up in here, you're about to see something neat. Because when the hills are full of our enemies, there's one of two things can happen. Both of them are good for us. Either they're going to kill us and we're going to see God, or God's going to show up and defeat them, and we're going to see God. You see, in the storms and the rising tide, God is going to be seen. Now, you have to be spiritual. You have to really be controlled by the Spirit and be in love with thinking about heavenly things to love that and think God's going to show up somehow here. Either He's going to deliver me or I'm going to be delivered unto Him. Either way, God is glorified. And problem solved. In Habakkuk chapter 3, I will read this passage and we will be done for today. Habakkuk chapter 3. Now think about this. The people, God's people are again enslaved. They're being oppressed. Their food, their crops, everything's been taken from them. And I mean, they have fallen upon hard times. Habakkuk says, "I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come to the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there is no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls." Now think about it. Can it get any bleaker or more bleak, whatever? Can it get any worse? I mean, when you're thinking, it's like, can it get worse than this, Lord? Can the situations that I'm facing, can the economy, can the political scene, can it get anywhere? Even though all of these things are going on, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The challenge this morning is, can we be people who, in the face of overwhelming circumstances, in the event of problems that are looming beyond our ability to understand, to comprehend, or to fix, can we be people who are not crushed, who have hope, who are not overcome, but people who are courageous in their dependence on God. This morning, the need for people who are courageous in their dependence is at an all-time high. The need in this community to have people that rise above the tide of circumstances is at an all-time high. And can we give this community exactly what the doctor has ordered? And that is a people full of hope. A people full of dependence upon God. Courageous in the storms. With an eye fixed on our Savior. Teachable and unmoved. This morning, whatever your need is, if you need to come forward, confess Christ as your Savior, confess Jesus as Lord, and to be baptized so that you never have to fear anything again. Circumstances will come and go, but salvation and eternity are forever. Whatever your need is this morning, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.